Gentus presents The Pain Tourist by Paul Cleave. Performed by Chris Dyer. Part 1. Chapter 1. James's thoughts, as he lies in bed, tend to gravitate toward what he's just watched or read. Which isn't great if what he's just watched or read is a story about killer clowns hiding in the closet. Fully aware that nighttime noises only make it harder for him to fall asleep, his parents keep their voices to a whisper and movements to a shuffle. But what he's hearing now are daytime noises. Knocking on the door, followed by voices, followed by arguing. All at, he glances at his bedside clock, 11 p.m. He can't make out what the argument is about, but he doesn't like how it sounds, nor does he like the thumps and bumps that follow. What is going on down there? The question gets him to his feet. His room is in darkness. His nightlight has been living in his wardrobe for the last 2 years after Hazel teased him for still using it. He picks his way slowly through the minefield of toys to the door. Toys he was meant to put away, but didn't. He can't see them, but doesn't need to. He has one of those memories where he can walk out of a room and months later tell you the location of everything that was in it. His memory is so good, he's frightened his brain will pop one day from hanging on to everything. He opens the door slowly and steps into the hallway. He passes Hazel's room. Unsurprisingly, she has slept through all the noise. From downstairs, his mother says, "Please, don't do this." The fear in her voice makes his blood run cold, but the smack that follows turns it to ice. So much so that when he goes to take another step toward the stairs, his legs give out and he has to clutch at the wall to slow his descent to the ground.
"Don't,"
his dad says. The same fear in his voice as his mum's.
"Please, don't."
James's chest tightens around his banging heart. The world blurs as he fights to get a decent breath. Ahead of him, there's an angle from which one can see downstairs into the lounge. Something he's done when his parents are watching horror movies. Since his legs are useless anyway, he rolls onto his belly and slowly slinks along the carpet. Smack. He jumps at the sound.
"Where is it?"
"I don't know what you're talking about," his dad says. "Please, you have the wrong house. You have the..."
Another smack, and James covers his mouth to stifle the building scream. More banging and bumping from downstairs. He needs to call the police, but can't. His parents say he's too young for a cell phone, and the same goes for Hazel, even though all their friends have them. And to make things worse, his parents got rid of the landline years ago. Best he could do would be to send a message to one of his friends online from his computer, but they'd all be asleep. Can you send an email to the police? He keeps shimmying forward. The lounge comes into view. It's all lit up. He can see somebody's lower half, dressed in black pants and black shoes. A stranger. Another shimmy forward. And now he can see somebody the size and shape of his dad, in his dad's clothing, kneeling on the floor with a pillowcase over his head. There's a spot of blood on the pillowcase. That somebody is next to another somebody. This one also on their knees, also with a pillowcase over their head.